أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. وأدخل الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات جنات تجري من تحتها الأنهار جنات تجري من تحتها الأنهار خالدين فيها بإذن ربهم تحيتهم فيها سلام. ألم تر كيف ضرب الله مثلا كلمة طيبة كشجرة طيبة أصلها ثابت وفرعها في السماء تؤتي أكلها كل حين ربها ويضرب الله الأمثال للناس لعلهم يتذكرون. ألم تر كيف ضرب الله مثلا كلمة طيبة كشجرة طيبة أصلها ثابت وفرعها في السماء تؤتي أكلها كل حين بإذن ربها ويضرب الله الأمثال للناس لعلهم يتذكرون. ومثل كلمة خبيثة كشجرة خبيثة اجتثت من فوق الأرض ما لها من قرار يثبت الله الذين آمنوا بالقول الثابت في الحياة الدنيا وفي في الآخرة. ويضل الله الظالمين ويفعل الله ما يشاء. صدق الله العظيم.
Right on this side, come in the front. Zakari, come in the front or something. You'll get more benefit, inshallah. Say this to you. Come in the front where I can see you, all you all can see me. MashaAllah. Nahmaduhu wa nasalli ala rasulihil kareem. Amma Baad. It has been traditional look that the i'tikaf which is made in the masajid by the brothers from the different areas, then some program is normally arranged for them, an hour or so during the day, where they have an opportunity to renew the ikhlas that is in their niyat to sit for the i'tikaf, to refreshen it, and also some nasihats. So mashayikh have always taken this into consideration and given an hour or so during the day to those who are the mu'takifin, those who are making i'tikaf. It is what we may term as a specialized majlis, a majlis specially for the people of i'tikaf. But by the way, some other people also benefit. But in reality, it is to give an opportunity to them to sit in the company of those mashayikh. So I am merely a naqil, making naqqali, means just trying to imitate the haqiqat and the reality. I don't have, and that is not out of tawazu that I'm mentioning it, it's not out of humility. That is my yaqeen, my belief, that I don't have it. But when others have some husna zan, when they have some good opinions and they gather around, then Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala then makes the person beneficial, or his talks beneficial, because those who are listening have got some kind of husnizan and some good opinion. So our akabir, our mashayikh, whenever somebody praises them, that you are this and you are that, and you are ghos and you are qutub and you are shaykh of the time, and allamatul dahr and zubdatul arifin and all those kind of things, then they did not consider themselves to be worthy of those titles. Immediately in their hearts they said, Ya Allah, accept the good opinions of these friends of mine and make me like that, what they think of me. So that is the reason why we make a little bit of this naqqali and imitation, so that we may get a little bit of that original. So this is just a little introduction to this majlis. That in the other majlises we have a big crowd, we have so many people, and it is not possible to make special riayat or give special attention to just those that are sitting in the i'tikaf. So this kind of majlis now at this odd time when people are all at work, so it gives it a little different flavor that you are close. It is an informal kind of majlis where the person gets more benefit. So alhamdulillah, we have amongst us here students, ulama. This is only the fazl of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala that He puts this kind of good opinion into their hearts. Otherwise, wherever they are studying, alhamdulillah, they've got great ulama, mashayikh. They're studying under great ulama. So there's no need for them to even come here. But when they are coming, So I make dua that Allah Ta'ala accept that good opinion and give me the haqiqat of that. So since this is a specialized majlis, so therefore we have to listen to certain things which are related to us. And one of our major weakness, this is a weakness of the entire ummah at large today, but especially those of us who have got this ta'alluq with deen, ta'alluq with the masajid, ta'alluq with the khanqas, ta'alluq with the ta'aleem in the madaris, ta'alluq with kitabs of hadith and kitabs of tafsir. So what is lacking is that ingredient of ikhlas. In majority of us, that is the ingredient that is missing. And that is the reason why we can't seem to be making a lot of progress. Shaitan and nafs, the behas or the discussion or the debate or the discourses on nafs and shaitan are very limited these days. Even in khanqas, many places where there is just zikr and nothing more than that, then the person sometimes through that zikr is becoming a shaitan. He is making zikr but he is becoming shaitan. Because there is no effort and emphasis on the suppression of nafs and all the nafsani desires, one of which is hubbe jah, that I must be recognized, that I am somebody. Or riya or ujub, considering oneself as now superior to the others. Now all these type of sicknesses sometimes develop with the same thing that we are doing, with that same atikaf, with that same zikr, with that same tilawat, with that same ibadat, with that same tahajjud, ishraq and chasht, which we do in itikaf. Shaitan may be chained, but shaitan's chelas are all open. Shaitan is chained, but the peer of shaitan, I call it the peer of shaitan. The peer of shaitan was his nafs. The peer, the shaykh of shaitan, was his nafs. That means nafs is bigger than shaitan. It was his nafs which told him that you are superior to Adam alayhi salatu wasalam. Allah Ta'ala is telling you must make sajda to Adam alayhi salatu wasalam. But this is not a logical thing. Now he was using logic. In front of Allah Ta'ala is using logic now. As everyone says, he must be rational. So now he was using his rationale. He was using his logic. And what was making him use that logic? It was his nafs. That logic, it was his nafs that was making him use it and say, خَلَقَتَنِي مِن نَار وَخَلَقْتَهُ مِن تُوِين. Created me out of fire and created Adam alayhi salatu wasalam out of dust. So that nafs of shaitan made him a shaitan. Otherwise he was a great abid. He was a great abid. He was also a great alim. He was a great abid too and a great alim too. Ibadat he made everywhere, so much ibadat he made. And as far as alim is concerned, he knew all the shariats of all the anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam. If he did not know all that, then he would not have been able to lead astray. So he was an abid also. And not only an abid, but as Mujaddid Millat Rahmatullah alayhi say, he was even an arif. He even knew Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala's qudrat and Allah Ta'ala's mercy and Allah Ta'ala's forgiveness and Allah Ta'ala's acceptance of du'as. That in that state when Allah Ta'ala rejected him and threw him out, Ukhruj fa innaka rajim, get out from here, you are cursed. So even at that time he is saying that give me a long span of life so that I may be able to mislead and misguide. Now he's asking Allah Ta'ala, he's making them dua to her. And what a kind of dua also. The dua also which he is making, he is asking Allah Ta'ala to give him life so that he may be able to mislead and misguide. Instead of doing that which Hazrat Adam alayhi salatu wasalam did, رَبَّنَا ظُلَمْنَا أَنفُسَنَا وَإِن لَمْ تَغْفِرْ لَنَا وَتَرْحَمْنَا لَنَكُونَنَّ مِنَ الْخَاسِرِينَ. Instead of following in that pattern, but he was going in the line and direction of his nafs. So the nafs is still loose in the month of Ramadan and in i'tikaf and in the masajid, in the khanqahs. Wherever the person is, that nafs is not suppressed. Now the nafs hasn't been chained. The nafs hasn't been put into chains and into Jahannam. What mention we get in the Hadith Sharif is Sulsilat Shayateen. The Shayateen are chained. And some have even mentioned that it is the major shaitans. So this nafs of a person, the bahas, the discourse, the marifat of the nafs is missing. So shaitan was an arif, he was an abid, he was an alim, but he was not an ashik of Allah. He had three ayns, and the fourth ayn was missing. If he was an ashik of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, then he would not have questioned what is the logic behind this, and what is the rationale behind this, and what's your wisdom behind this, and why this hukam, and why not some other hukam, why not Hazrat Adam alayhi salatu wasalam must make sajda to me, why the other way around, what's so great about Hazrat Adam alayhi salatu wasalam, he's been created out of dust. So now there was no logic business there when it comes to the hukam of Allah Ta'ala. And there the hukam also was direct to him. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, he addressed him directly and said, make sajda. He said, قَالَ رَبُّكَ لِلْمَلَائِكَةِ اسْجُدُوا لِآدَمْ فَسَجَدُوا إِلَّا إِبْلِيسِ. So the order was direct to the malaika also and to him. He was in the company of the malaika. Now imagine, he was staying in the company of the malaika, but his nafs misguided him. So from there we learn that sometimes you can be in the company of the malaika also, but this nafs doesn't get suppressed very easily. In the masjid we are in the company of the malaika, and especially in i'tikaf, even more in the company of the malaika. A person who has made the niyat of i'tikaf and is sitting in the masjid, what will he be doing in the masjid? In the masjid he will be reading Quran Sharif, he will be making nafil namaz, he'll be making some zikr, making some ibadat, he'll be engaging in some kind of reading of some good Islamic literature. Or even if he is just resting and sleeping after having done a little bit of ibadat, because it is makruh to only remain silent throughout the i'tikaf, the person is silent. Doesn't make any zikr, doesn't make any tilawat, doesn't do anything, only sleeps. So that is not the purpose of i'tikaf. One time one person, he was having a lot of problem with his wife. So he went and sat down in i'tikaf in one of the masjids. Then when I met him, I asked him, how you were? How's the problem solved? He said, it was so terrible at home, I went and sat down in i'tikaf. It was terrible at home, so I went and sat down in i'tikaf. So now that kind of i'tikaf, where he's running away from his wife. But whatever it is, still he sat down in the masjid, he didn't go somewhere else. But you can see that the niyat behind that running away was, or sitting in i'tikaf, was because he couldn't take the tension at home in the month of Ramadan. Mawlana Ramadan, but it was just hell at home. So that's why the best place was i'tikaf. And this is not uncommon. There is many, many people, they just want to get away. And they say, we're going for Umrah, we're going for Hajj, we're going for this, we're going for that, we're going for deen work. In the meantime, many of them, the niyat is to run away from the responsibilities. So as I mentioned in the introduction that this is a specialized majlis, we feel more relaxed because it is only my friends who are sitting here now and who are in i'tikaf. The others, they benefit by the way, but all the others are at work now, so let us discuss this, which is very important. That here you can see that shaitan was in the company of the malaika, but his peer, which was his nafs, misled him, misguided him. So that nafs which misguided and misdirected shaitan, that nafs is with every one of us. And that is what Hazrat Maulana Ali Mia Rahmatullah Ali wrote to Hazrat Maulana Wasiullah Rahmatullah Ali. And he said that nafs ki behas aaj bahut kuch mafqood ho chuki hai. Even in khanqahs and other places, this nafs behas is not made. So as a result, what happens is that that same i'tikaf now, instead of bringing us closer to Allah Ta'ala, if we give an opportunity to that nafs to direct us, then it will lead us to ujub, lead us to pride, lead us to arrogance. So that person is making zikr and is becoming shaitan. The person is making tilawat and is becoming shaitan number one. The person is making ibadat, the person is making even dua sometimes. And the person, instead of getting the closeness and the marifat and the muhabbat and the yaqeen of Allah Ta'ala and the anwarat and the barakat, but if the niyat becomes a way show, or ujub comes in the person's heart. Look at the wahwa that people are making. Young people, mashallah, all sitting in i'tikaf. Look at the Maulana Sahib who is making so much of sacrifice and is not well too, but is making zikr too and dua too and having programs too and all that. And if we only have to give that nafs an opportunity, then that nafs will make us all shaitans. So we'll be sitting in the company of angels in the masjid. Yes, that's a point that I was talking about. That in the masjid we are having the company of the angels. In i'tikaf, what else does a person do? Unless of course he brings that atmosphere and the environment of the outside into the inside. But generally the person will make namaz, he'll make zikr, tilawat, ibadat, and even if he's sleeping, then he's getting rewards. That is the beauty of i'tikaf, that the person, whatever ibadat he cannot do now, because he has restrained himself, he has restricted himself. Now because of that, he cannot do a lot of other ibadat which he could have done outside. So Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala gives him the sawab of all that ibadat whilst he is sitting inside. Now if a janaza comes now, so the people in i'tikaf cannot go and read the janaza outside there. But there is a masla that if a person was, for example, was gone to the toilet and he made wuzu and he was coming into the masjid and a janaza is taking place, it's ready. So then he can go and join the janazah and come inside. But from the inside now, that person, the janazah there is of his own brother. The janazah is of his own father. Now imagine, which person will not have that desire to make the janazah namaz of the father or the brother or the auntie or the sister. But now he's suppressing his nafs. His desire is that I must go there, but he doesn't go. Why? Because that is the hukam of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that he must stay within these boundaries. So he's getting the sawab, he's getting all those rewards of visiting the sick and all other things. So the person who is in i'tikaf is getting all those rewards. So which means that he is in the company of angels all the time. That person is in the company of angels. So the company of angels should light up our hearts, should bring sukoon in our hearts, should bring noor in our hearts. That is what the company of angels should bring. The chicken, the wing of the hen, when they come under the wing of the hen, they find comfort. They get warmth. So like that, the wings of the angels are spread out for all of you, and you are under the wings of the angels. Now these things we have to use our imagination. They don't just come like that. To understand these things, Allah Ta'ala has given us an imagination. That same imagination which you use for many other haram things. Today the world is full of fantasies. Fantasizing is a sickness, it's a disease. I deal with cases, I reply to letters and people talk about their problems. And now it's not a question of one or two letters or one or two phone calls or one or two emails. There's so much. And this is a sickness, it's a disease. And not a disease of only the people here in South Africa or in our Durban. The same disease, whether the person is in America, whether he's in England, whether he's in West Indies, or whether he is in Australia, or whether he is in Europe. But if he is interested in his Islam, if after picking up some kind of literature on the internet or some listening to some talks and the person gets interested in his reformation and Islam, and when they start writing, then some of the major sicknesses, some of the major diseases, one of them is this. They say that we are fantasizing all the time, fantasizing about haram. Either evil gazing, having very bad thoughts, or fantasizing. And then that fantasizing leads on to so many other sins. So then we will say, why did Allah Ta'ala give us that imagination mechanism? So that we may imagine great things. The whole Quran Sharif is filled with what? Read the ayats of Jahannam, read the ayats of Jannat. As I've repeatedly said now, that now we have authentic translations. Before, people were told, don't go to the translations of the Quran Sharif because we don't have them authentic. And if you pick it up, then you can even get misguided. For example, one of the translations and commentary, in that whenever it comes to the ayat of Jannat, they say it's a state, it's a condition, there's no reality and no haqiqat. Now when the person is going to keep reading those things, then he may truly believe that there's no such thing as real Jannat and real Jahannam. It's just a state of mind. So though read the ayats of Jannat, read the ayats of Jahannam, now use this imagination. Make a journey through Jannat, make a journey through Jahannam. Use this imagination that we are in Makkah Mukarrama, we are making tawaf of the Kaaba Sharif, we have attached ourselves to the Multazam. We are in the Hatim Sharif making namaz, we are behind the Maqam Ibrahim, we are shedding tears at the Multazam with our chest attached to the Kaaba Sharif wall. We are drinking Zamzam direct from the source. We are on Safa, we are on Marwa. Between the Milayn and Akhzarain, we've got our ihrams on and we are running. We are in Mina, where there's so much of tents and camps and millions of hajis from all over the world. And then comes to Arafat. Now all these types of things we can imagine. So many other things we can use our imagination for. When we're reading Durood and Salam, we are at the Roza Mubarak of Nabi alayhi salatu wa salam. So this imagination we can use for many, many things. But now that is a sickness, as I said, of the fantasy world. It's a world of fantasy. Fantasizing about illicit beloveds. Fantasizing about haram, cinemas and shows. Fantasizing about after reading the filthy literature. So this imagination Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala has given to us, so we use it for the correct purposes. You know what I was really discussing in any case. So I was talking about Shaitan, that Shaitan was misled, misguided by his nafs. So this discussion and discourses on nafs is something that it does not interest the modern day Muslim. It does not interest the so-called educated Muslim. There's no enjoyment in that when you have to talk about the nafs. The nafs does not give any enjoyment. Why? Because this discussion of the nafs, you have to do something. You have to suppress your evil desires. You have to fight those evil passions and desires. And many times you have heard that if the thoughts just come, because people keep asking the same question. Well, I'm sitting in the masjid, but evil thoughts coming. I'm reading Quran Sharif, evil thoughts coming. I'm making namaz, evil thoughts coming. So one is coming, they just came. So if they just come, let them pass. Don't entertain them. Don't give them any importance. They are not respectable and honored guests that we entertain them in our hearts, those evil thoughts when they come. They are, as I have said many times, like the national highway. Our heart is like the national highway. And everything passes on the national highway. They all got the right to pass through. There are trucks, there are buses. Go to India and see. You will see cattle, you will see donkeys, you will see monkeys, you will see cows also on the national highway. And here in South Africa also, many a times whilst we are driving in front of us, there will be horses moving. There will be a van or there will be a truck. And what has it got? It's got horses. And after a little while, then you'll say, what has that truck got? It says, that truck has got cows and sheep, cattle. Then you keep moving and suddenly you see, what has that truck got? It says, that truck has got pigs. So on the national highway, there's cars too, there's trucks too, there's buses too, there's scooters too, and there's animals also that are going through. And some are halal and some are haram also. So the thoughts will come through this national highway of our heart. Some will be halal, some will be haram. But what do we do when we see that haram? On the national highway when we see pigs going, now which Muslim, yes, the kuffar, the mushrikeen, or for whom bacon and chips they can't do without. For them they must start off the day with bacon. So we're not talking about them. Because when they will see it, they'll say, hi, what a wonderful thing. My life's desires, my heart's desire. I wish I could have had a few of them in my yard, so tomorrow I could have had extra bacon. Now that is their thing. But what will the Muslim say? The Muslim will say, la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. And sometimes the women are with us, the family is with us, and say, speed up, speed up. Overtake this truck quickly. Don't we say that? Take over this truck, overtake them quickly. Don't follow this truck. They don't want to even see it. Turn the faces away. So when we're turning our faces away and our gazes away and we want to speed past, we don't want to even have a second glance at this truck filled with pigs, then why should we allow pigs to come in our hearts? These filthy thoughts are pigs. If it is passing through, let it go past. Don't entertain it. Don't welcome it. Don't lay down a dastarkhan for it. Then they will go away. If you stop there and start fighting, now if you stop that truck and start fighting with the driver, why did you come on this highway? Didn't you know that I was also going to come a little later? So we are not talking about those thoughts. The thoughts will come and go away. But we should not do anything that makes us go in the direction of those thoughts. So in the masjid we are sitting in i'tikaf. Now while sitting in i'tikaf, although we are in the company of the angels, but the nafs of everybody is loose. The nafs is very loose. And I mentioned in my majlis too that it is easy to go and shoot a lion in Kruger National Park these days with the type of guns that they have. A person can stand at a distance and shoot a lion down. He can shoot an elephant. He can shoot any big animal. So to shoot down a lion is easy. To shoot down an elephant is easy. But to shoot down this beast of nafs, It's not easy. It needs extensive sohbat of the mashayikh, of those who have got Allah Ta'ala in their hearts. And then after some days or some time, then the person now becomes in control over his nafs. So that when those evil thoughts are coming also, even when the thoughts of ujub are coming, of pride, or when the thought of vanity is coming, when the thought of superiority complex is coming, when all these type of evil thoughts are coming, then the person knows that this is now the nafs, and the nafs is trying to take me in a different direction. Then he straight away reads, La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. He makes tawbah, istighfar, turns towards Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, and nips it in the bud. Now when the person does that, then over a period of time, then he will get nuraniyat in his heart. He will get a kind of life coming into that heart. Hazrat Israfil alayhi salatu wasalam will blow the sur. When he will blow the sur, everybody will vanish. Everything will perish. Everything will disintegrate. There will be fanaiyat coming over everything. And then when he will blow again, everything will come to life. So these majlises, or this i'tikaf, it is for that fanaiyat, that the person completely annihilates himself. He considers himself absolutely nothing. In the presence of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, we are not even like the ant in comparison with the elephant. Like if you put an ant on the ground, and then you stand an elephant next to the ant, then still that ant has got some wujud. That ant can still say that I am living. Although the huge elephant is there next to the ant. But in the presence of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, we are not even like that ant. So when we are going to annihilate ourselves by means of this i'tikaf, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala will make it like the blowing of Hazrat Israfil alayhi salatu wasalam sur, that we are becoming fana, but from that fana Allah ta'ala will give us hayat. I think my ulama friends here inshallah will be appreciating what I'm telling them, which Allah ta'ala is putting into my mind. And this is not something I read in a kitab. That by means of this i'tikaf, in which the person has cut himself off from the outside world, so now he has come into i'tikaf. And in i'tikaf also he restricted himself. When he was told that this is the boundary of the masjid, so he was not prepared to take one step outside the boundary of the masjid. One step outside the boundary of the masjid is not prepared to undertake without need for it. Whereas, what difference does it make? If we ask ourselves the question, what difference does it make? If that is the boundary of the masjid, then if you went two steps out to make janaza namaz there, you didn't go there to play tabla, dolak, sarangi there. The person, what he went there for? And he just went two steps outside the masjid, and he can tell the Imam Sahib also, bring the janaza close so that I can be in the first saf there. But he's making fana of himself, of his own irada. Kar de fana sab mere irade. Apni raza mein mujhko mita de. Kar de fana sab mere irade. Oh Allah, whatever is your raza, whatever is your pleasure, make me fana in that. He chahe sab mere irade. So now the person has made fana of his irada. The person has made fana of his desires. He has made fana of his own wishes and his own ideas and his own aspirations. He has first made it fana. Now he will ask Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala and Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that, is this permissible for me? If Allah ta'ala and his Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say, yes, it's permissible for you to become a good doctor, to become a good teacher, to become a good scientist, it's permissible for you to reach high stages and become a good alim and a good mufti and a good qari. So now he will become still, he will go in that direction and become a very great person in knowledge. But first he will make fana of his irada. And this i'tikaf is for that, that when the person will make fana, then his fanaiyat, after that, Allah Ta'ala will give him life. And that life will be like that after the blowing of Hazrat Israfil alayhi salatu wasalam sur, that all those who had died, all those who had turned to dust, when they turn to dust, then they will be raised again from the dust. First they will be fanaiyat, now they will be hayat. Hayat will come in that qalb, hayat will come in that heart. The person will be no different from us. It's not that now suddenly he will become like an angel with wings, or he'll be a human being with wings. All our mashayikh, do they look different from us? That when we go to them, do they have some kind of wings and they take off, or their cars travel without petrol, or they can do without food and drink? One person invited one sheikh of his, and then he told him, or he had invited him, and but when he came to eat there, when the sheikh went to eat there, so he just had one or two morsels of food there, one or two small pieces of meat there. So now that sheikh was also, mashallah, he required sufficient food. So he asked him, he said, the peer sahab said, bhai, ye kya? I'm so hungry and that's all you got, and you said invitation. So he said, I maine suna tha ke buzrugo ka dil noor se bhara rehta hai. Their bodies are filled with noor all the time. So he said, bhai, wo noor dil mein hota hai ke pet mein hota hai? Noor will be in the heart, not in the pet. The pet needs food. So now you are saying that there's noor, that the noor is in the heart, not in the pet. So Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala will then fill the hearts with noor. There will be hayat. There will be hayat-e qalbi. And so deen hayat-e qalbi ka naam hai. Maulana, samjhe, deen hayat-e qalbi ka naam hai. Jab qalb mein hayat aa jati hai, to phir zindagi mein deen aa jata hai. With the barakat of the students of Azadwal, Allah Ta'ala is fazal. The deen hayat-e qalbi ka naam hai. That when the person will have hayat in the qalb, life in the heart, life in his soul, then life will come in his deen. At present, all our effort is on the parts of our bodies. In namaz also we are making an effort. There is that shape of namaz. We are standing, making ruku, making sajda. So there is our body that is occupied. And that shape of it is also essential. Without that hayat and without that shape and form, there is no namaz. So the person must not go on to another extreme now, that what is namaz? Sit and think of Allah Ta'ala. There was one doctor in one of the towns from Moy River days, in those days when I used to travel around quite a bit. So we used to meet different kinds of people. So they told me that this doctor here is a trustee of the masjid also, where he doesn't make any namaz. And that was very common in those days. Now alhamdulillah it has changed to quite a degree. But in those days, if any person has got a degree of science or maths, or he's got a degree or qualification in some other field, or he is a chairman of a soccer club, or if he is a referee of a cricket match, then you make him trustee of a masjid too. Or if he's an umpire of a cricket match, so then you make him an umpire of the masjid trustee board also. So there was no question of ilm. So you see, he's a trustee of the masjid, but he doesn't make namaz. So you must speak to him. So I said, I can't just go and speak to him and tell him that you're trustee of the masjid, why you don't make namaz. But we'll go and meet him. We'll go and talk, find out what is happening. Indirectly, we'll ask him. So in the discussion, what surfaced was this, that what is the purpose of salat? Purpose of salat is an attachment with Allah Ta'ala. And in the masjid, we have a big crowd. Now in that crowd, you cannot get this attachment with Allah Ta'ala. So what I do is, say, I sit in at home and 5 times a day, say, I do that. If the time comes in my office, then in my office, on my chair I sit. And how long it takes for the salat? 10 minutes for Zuhr. So for 10 minutes I don't take any patience or anything. I sit and I think of Allah Ta'ala. You won't believe me, but this is the truth what I am telling you. But then I had to give him a lengthy explanation. Without a word of lie, I'm in the masjid, I'm fasting, and I'm in the month of Ramadan. That person today is a better namazi than myself. Since that day that he started, after that explanation, alhamdulillah, that doctor is a very, very good namazi. So Allah Ta'ala can bring about changes too. We should not lose hope on anybody. There's no such thing as losing hope. Allah Ta'ala's doors are wide open. So I was talking about the shape and form of namaz. That the shape and form of namaz is also essential. We have to have that form there. But that is not the soul of namaz. So this person's aza, his parts of the body are occupied in salat. But because there's no hayat-e qalbi, so therefore that namaz is not giving him that satisfaction, that benefit, those rewards, which that person would have got if he made 2 rakats of namaz with hayat-e qalbi. When the hayat comes in the qalb, when the chicken is fully formed in the egg, then what does it do? It doesn't ask the mother to crack the shell. When life comes into the chick, then it doesn't wait for the mother now, mother hen, to crack that shell to come out. Because life has come, it just cracks that shell and it comes out, a live chick from a dead egg. So our hearts are dead. This i'tikaf, when we are going to make fana, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala will give us hayat. With our fana of qalb, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala will give us hayat of qalb. When we'll make fana before Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, that your orders we are prepared to accept under all conditions, irrespective of what our nafs desires, and that is the training that we are getting through this i'tikaf, then Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala will also become pleased, and he will give us hayat in that qalb. And when we will get that hayat in that qalb, then just like how that chick cracks open that shell and comes out life, like that we will crack all the shells of masiyat and sin, we'll break all those barriers down. We will have himmat and courage after that, like lions against our nafs and against shaitan. But in the i'tikaf also, if the person is not going to occupy himself as he should, or if he's going to indulge in those very sins that he was indulging outside, fantasizing about haram, or occupying oneself in ghibat, or any other sins, or not even making that effort whilst in i'tikaf to improve the quality of that namaz, so then which other opportunity will the person get? For example, if our 2 rakats, I'm not talking about imam, the imam will make light namaz, man amma qawman fal yukhaffif. But we are talking about other namazes. Now what else is there to do in i'tikaf? So that namaz which we normally used to make in 1.5 minutes flat, 4 rakat namaz, because we try to break records, this is the age of records. To enter the Guinness Book of Records, they say a person in 1 minute he made 4 rakats. So definitely he should go into the book. If a person made such a fast namaz, then he deserves entry in that book. Because millions of copies, I believe, are sold of that book, so at least one day somebody will read that there was such a Muslim also, he made 4 rakats in 1 minute. So one person accepted Islam, a new Muslim, he came. He was taking his time to read namaz slowly. And one of the other persons who had introduced him to Islam, He finished very quick and he was outside and waiting. So when this person finished his namaz and came outside, saying, how long am I waiting for you here? So long it takes you to read namaz. He says, yes, but you taught me that I must make namaz with khushu, with khuzu. So I'm making namaz like that. So then how did you finish so quick? He said, because I'm an old Muslim. See, you are a new Muslim. That's why it took your time. I'm an old Muslim. It doesn't take me time to make namaz with khushu, khuzu, with speed. May Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala accept your ibadat, your zikr, your tilawat, your namazes. So that is what I was saying, that to improve the quality of that namaz. That whilst we were outside, when we were not in i'tikaf, or when we had other commitments, person is at work, person is has to rush to the factory and to the supermarket or to the profession or to the madrasa and all those kind of things. So he makes light namaz and gets away. But now when in i'tikaf, we have all the time in the world. So instead of making 20 rakats nafil namaz, make 2 rakats, make 4 rakats. But read it in such a way that we also sense that some kind of hayat is coming into our hearts. Hayat-e qalbi we are getting. We are getting that enjoyment. We are really feeling that this is a salat. It's not a tu ja main aata hu namaz. So the person is getting that opportunity also to improve the quality of his namaz. The same with the tilawat of the Quran Sharif. One is that tilawat that we make on our own or in gatherings and things of that nature, or when the person has to read a little fluently like in Tarawih. But now that the person has got all the time, and especially when he's an alim or when he's hafiz of the Quran Sharif, then the tartil and that khawf and that muhabbat of Allah Ta'ala and that marifat of Allah Ta'ala and that yaqeen that we are reading the kalam of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. So now we're getting an opportunity to improve the quality of the recitation of our Quran Sharif. The zikr also, the tasbihat. One is reading tasbih, subhanallah, 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 as if we are cursing somebody, na'uzubillah. That is why after the namazes, nowadays we make very little tasbih. Sometimes people think that how we finish one tasbih after asr and after fajr. When we make the dua quickly, so the people who are in the habit of reading the whole tasbih, then they think that this Maulana must be reading very, very speedy tasbih, finished his whole tasbih before we finished 20 times. So it's not that. We're reading little, but read it properly, because the other people, they want to get over it. So there is a hadith also of 11 times. Just as there is of 33, 33, 34, in the same way, there is a hadith sharif also of 11 times. So you rather read 11 times properly. Subhanallah, subhanallah, alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah. Read 11 times instead of one tasbih in which we are just making subhanallah, subhanallah, subhanallah. What is that subhanallah? So to improve the quality of the tasbih, whilst we are in i'tikaf, we're getting an opportunity to improve the quality of the tasbih. In other words, we're getting an opportunity of improving all round. And then we are getting hayat in our qalb. By means of this improvement now of our salat, improvement of the zikr, improvement of the tilawat, we are getting hayat-e qalbi, life in the heart. And then it will become like the chick that is cracking that shell and coming out with hayat. So then when it will come to the end of Ramadan, all the people in i'tikaf will come out like live people with hearts which are brimming with, overfilled with the love of Allah Ta'ala and His Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. May Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala accept all the ibadah, the zikr, the tilawat, and give all of us hayat-e qalbi. As I said, when we are going to get this hayat in our qalb, then the rest of our life will have hayat. Otherwise it will be like dead bodies. Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammadin wa ala ali Sayyidina Muhammadin wa barik wa sallim. Rabbana taqabbal minna innaka antas samiul alim wa tub alayna innaka antat tawwabur rahim. Allahumma inna nas'aluka min khayri ma sa'alaka minhu nabiyyuka wa habibuka sayyiduna Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam wa na'udzu bika min sharri masta'aza minhu nabiyyuka wa habibuka sayyiduna Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam wa antal musta'an wa 'alaikal balagh wa la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. Allah jo bhi ibadat zikr tilawat nafil namaz اے اللہ جو اعتکاف میں کر رہے ہیں ان سب کو قبول فرما. اے اللہ ان کی دعاؤں کو قبول فرما, ان کی عبادت کو قبول فرما. اے اللہ ہم سب کو فنائیت نصیب فرما. اے اللہ ہم سب کو حیات قلبی نصیب فرما. اے اللہ تیری معرفت نصیب فرما, تیری محبت نصیب فرما, رسول پاک صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم کے ساتھ سچا عشق نصیب فرما. اے اللہ دنیا اور آخرت کی بلائیوں سے ہم سب کو مالا مال فرما. اللہ ہمیں دنیا بھی دے آخرت بھی دے, ہمیں دین بھی دے دنیا بھی دے. اللہ bless us with the best of دنیا and the best of آخرت. ربنا آتنا فی الدنیا حسنا وفی الآخرت حسنا وقینا عذاب النار. وصل اللہ تعالی علی خیر خلقه ونور عرشه سیدنا ونبینا وشفیعنا ومولانا محمد وآلہ واصحابہ اجمعین برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين.